the podcast, episode 21 with Paul and Barry.
Hello, and today's episode is going to be Ogre Kingdoms, called Tough Nuts with Big Guts.
Big Guts, Tough Nuts. It rhymes. That's the best I could do.
Fair enough.
Okay. Best I could do.
So, we just played a game with Ogre Kingdoms, and we'll chat about it. We'll go for the army list, because we've Barry's played quite a bit of Ogre Kingdoms, and we've played against Ogre Kingdoms, and I just tried Ogre Kingdoms there. So, we have something to say.
Yeah, it's unlikely you'll get many more games, or I will, with or against Ogre Kingdoms anytime soon. So,
No, I mean, now that I have a ogre army, I will like to bring, to bring it out and use it against you.
Okay.
Yeah, like
feel free. Yeah. But you've got your three you need to do.
Yes, I know, but like
okay. That's why I said we should put them to bed. Right. So I'll use one today. Right. What are you going to say? What are you going to say about your week, Paul?
Yes. So okay.
It's Thursday.
Today's Thursday the 26th. Just gone midday. So I haven't done too much hobby because I've had 5 shifts at work this week, which is quite a lot. Which is just the
way. It's like half a month's work, isn't it?
Well, it was over 60 hours, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, I have been putting. I've been hoovering up these cheap eBay purchases and putting them getting them all clipped off and putting them onto bases like blue tacked. So just because I'm gonna try to use models in games more.
Yeah, that's what I tried to do today. I didn't really want to use tokens, so I just used proxies.
Because now, with the stuff that's turning up in the mail, I'd have an Orc and Goblin army, so at some point I've got a challenge, but I've got a set down barrier challenge that I'm using orcs against a competitive game.
That'll be good.
And also, we've hit a new milestone with the podcast, so we should have another party to celebrate.
Which milestone?
Of our downloads, isn't it? We set a bar.
Oh, right, yeah. There was a few of those. Okay, that's all your hobby? You played the game yesterday.
I turned up at the club after work, and I was going to teach Phil and Chris. Yes. The game, because they're both guys who have...
Chris?
George. Oh, Christ. Teach Graham and George Get War Master, because they both bought tickets to the event in July 2nd, and they're going to use armies of mine, and so at least they have an appreciation of the game, which is nice, because I put out in our club for people to do such a thing, and those two have actually bought tickets, so thanks very much. Anyway, so I just ran through the rules, used some tokens, just for about half an hour, just say, this is how you play the game. And what I'll do on the first round is I'll pair them against other new players and kind of teach them in the first round. But they're just turning up to use my stuff and help support me. So that's quite good.
Experienced war games players. Yeah,
it fleshes out the field of a tournament as well, which is quite nice. Because you want to run an event that has a number of players in it. Well, I do at least. Yeah.
What else did you do last night?
Oh, yeah, okay, so the other hobby chat. Right, and I forgot to mention this in the last episode because I'd read the rules of it. Right, so I got involved in a game of Warhammer 8 Quest Age of...
No,
is it Silver Tower? That's it. Right, okay, anyway.
The
Silver Tower. So this is GW's new game
in
a box.
Did you get a shower when you got home? To clean yourself, cleanse.
So this is GW's new game in a box, Warhammer Quest. Now, I'm a big fan of Warhammer Quest. Not this one, but the Warhammer Quest that I own, which is the classic edition of Warhammer Quest. So this was what is this game trying to be? At the Welsh Nationals, when I was playing there a couple of weekends back, I read the rules. They had a set there, and I read the rules in the downtime waiting for a game to start, because there's not many rules to it. And it is a very simple dungeon crawler. But the problem is it's a game that has no opponent. You're all playing alongside it. It's a cooperative dungeon crawler game. Now,
semi-cooperative when you're playing, sure.
Well, that's the thing. So you get your characters, and it's it is well nicely done. The models are lovely, and the playing pieces, the card pieces are nice, etc. There's a lot, it's well presented. But the thing is when you're all cooperating, and the monsters, the dungeons of this dungeon, will do follow a set pattern. Well, once you know what that pattern is, where's the game in it? It's just a dice rolling exercise.
Yeah.
It's there wasn't enough randomness in it to mix up.
Not enough tables.
Basically, a game like this will work if there's a random element to what the game does. If there isn't that random element,
right?
You enter this room and the monsters are placed in the middle of the room, and you
where they're always placed.
Where they're always placed, and you attack them. Well, it's like, there's no... I'd really get the point of it.
Yeah, there's no replayability, because once you've played it, you've played it. What's the point?
Well, exactly.
It's going to be exactly the same
again. Yeah, so it's, like, Warmer Quest, like, the... You know, we put, like, a GM into it to make it interesting, and like, because the monsters can do different things, and you work them... And the game's just very difficult anyway to get through, even when the monsters are activating and doing a set thing. There's not difficult in this Warmer, in this Age of Sigmar thing. Your heroes can easily work out the best things to do and overpower said creatures of the dungeon. So it's a swing and a miss in terms of that in my head, because to me now this is just another box game that after a playthrough is just like, well, not really for me. I mean,
again, you're probably not the target market.
No, I'm not. But it's say I was playing Old Hammer, and say, like, the Skaven Death Runner in it, there's two, like, I don't know what they're, like, assassins slash warlords or whatever they're meant to be. They're lovely models, so you'd want to, like, oh, they'd be really good in a fantasy army.
If you had one.
As I say, and the Tzinch models look great. Like, they do look really good. Like, you know, because that you could they
so what, they beaky humanoids.
Well, yeah, you're like cultists and like horrors and stuff, and they're just like the way a horror, when you kill it, splits down into these two little things, and that looks fantastic as models. And if you were, basically, what I'm saying is, if you played, say, Mordheim, these models might find a use for you as a possessed warband. Or you had a Chaos Army and you wanted to have like. Use those models in there as well, then I can see the point of owning it. And then you've also got this, like, this a couple of attempts game. But as a game on its own, I wasn't that impressed by it. I don't see, like, where... I mean, as I said to, like, well, why don't you just, like, you know, like...
Do Warhammer Quest?
Why don't you just, like, there's no challenge to it. Like, it's the same... why don't you just all give yourself a pat on the back and, like, say, well done? Because there's no... challenge, like, unless one of you starts acting up like I like did,
inevitably will, yeah,
because why the hell not, like, yeah, because basically in this game system you roll your dice for your actions, and that's what your dice can put actions to do, and this action requires a 3+, that kind of thing, and you've rolled your dice to nominate what you do. There's also this pool of communal dice which you can take and use to help your character. You know, now obviously you're meant to cooperate. Well, I'm not going to, am I? Like, so I'm the Sigma Marine. I'll have all the dice immediately, and I'll just throw them away. Like, I'll do nothing with them.
Sigma demands it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to dash into a room, not attack. No, I'm going to stand in this corner and cower behind my shield like some guard stance. That's all I'm going to do. And it's like, and you can see like the younger lad at the club who'd bought this game, Oliver. And he couldn't. I don't think he really got that,
The issue may, he might not have met you before.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, who's this guy? Yeah. He's ruining my game.
No, not ruining it, but it's just like, why isn't he...
Well, you're playing to your rules rather than the game rules.
That's the thing. It's like, well, what, yo, like, in these kind of game systems, it's funny to me to, like act up and like, you know, who wins individually
exactly.
The best
in a co-op, like, game, who wins?
Yeah.
Well, we all win.
No, I'm winning. Yeah, like, I'm not going to help you. Like, the first thing I asked was, can I attack each other? Like, can we do that? You know, like, no, we can't. And it's like, it's not that complicated, but it's just like, well, you know, and basically that's why I like Skaven, because I just be like, first thing we do is stab you in the back. And you can do that in Warmer Quest in like the version that I haven't owned. So it's all good fun, but this just seems, I don't know, it's, oh well, I've said everything about it really. It's just like, is if you had another use for the models,
but this is GW's new MO. It's like, awesome models, shame about the game.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Maybe that should be their tagline outside their company.
But they say we don't make games, we make models.
Yeah.
So fair enough.
I think
maybe you should pay someone else to make your games if you just concentrate on the models.
Well, the real question is are you, I mean, does that bother you? Like, would you rather play a game system that, you know, you can see the flaws
in? I play a game system with beer mats.
Because you're that side of the camp, but maybe other people are more the other way.
No, I'm sure they are. People love models. People buy models to paint.
Yeah. Well,
just to paint, not to play with. Why would I do that?
Well, you wouldn't.
But no, I certainly wouldn't.
But, like, people do. Yeah, so, I mean, I got to say, their stuff... I mean, GW have been, for a while now, been able to produce models that hide all join lines. You can't. You pick up these models, which are have just been put together. You can't see where the model was joined together.
Yeah.
And they're very clever at doing that. And they It's ingenious. Like, oh, so this part is a head and an arm that goes together here, and the folds are like in the creases of the definition of the body.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's clever. Like,
yeah. Yeah. This is what I'm saying. So they're almost unparalleled at miniature making, but they're kind of like low to mid tier game writing.
I mean, like they're classic model, isn't it? Their hallmark is a space marine. Well, that's a design that's been well thought out for 30 years, and it's like, you know, you can make dynamic pose space marines, but ultimately they are a simple model because it's a guy in armor plates, isn't it? And where they show their skill are like in these like Tzinch cultists who, like, that's a human body. You recognise what a human body's meant to look like. And yeah, he's muscled like Conan, but like equally he's got all this cool stuff going on around him, like with a mask and a helmet on and everything else, and the way he's posed. And it's like they're fantastic. So I think if say you were playing Mordheim, this would make you, the stuff in there would make a fantastic possessed warband.
Good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So what have I been doing? Let me pull your sheet. I've been lazy. I haven't picked out my sheet. Right. So, did I do that? Right. So I've been doing a little bit of magic as always. I'm trying to run an Eternal Masters draft, but if anybody knows magic, you'll know how ridiculously expensive those are. But I'll let you know if I manage to run one. I've been playing D&D 5th Ed, but that's really been to get my tits now.
Why
there's
is
just
that?
No lethality to it. I used to love in old D&D 2nd edition, yeah, stuff, like 20, 30 years ago. It was like really on edge. And there's an interesting thing, this links into Judge Dredd in a minute. There's an interesting, you know, you were always on edge, you were always nearly dead. You had to be careful, you had to be cautious. Nobody dies. Once you get past first level, nobody dies.
Is that the GM?
No, I make him roll out. He's not like, because some GMs will hide the dice rolls. I make him roll in front of me. I'm like encouraging to kill us. Come on, Jeff, kill us! Kill us! Once you get past first level, you just don't die. People just don't die.
Yeah.
And then it just all becomes really flabby, and it's like, how many dice can I roll? How much damage can I do?
Yeah.
It's just like, whatever.
I mean, the thing I found...
Bring back some risk.
Because the thing I found about that style of like Dungeons & Dragons style gaming with each other is, because I said to you in the club last night about this, is that, well, because there's no set turn limit, it's the person that can interact the best...
Or shout the loudest.
Or shout the loudest, get the most attention, is doing the most things. So they're like going like, GM, me, and they're like, oh, I'm going to move here, I'm going to look at this, I'm going to talk to this guy, and I'm going to like jerk him off over here, and then they're like stab him in the back, and it's like, and it's so, but they're getting all his attention, they're doing things. The guy who's a bit socially retarded in the corner isn't talking as much, and thus his character is just standing there picking his nose.
There's a lot of social contract involved.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
so you've got some guys that kind of, you know, like if you're in a relationship, it's the little things that annoy you.
Right, yeah.
It's the little things. So, like, there are four of you, for example. I'm not going to mention any names. So, four of us, and then you take it in turns. Obviously, the initiative order's done, so you know who's next. You know who's next. You know where you are. And then it gets to this person's turn, and he spends 10 minutes thinking which spell he's going to cast. And then he goes through every spell, and he reads them out, and then he casts a spell, the same spell he cast last turn, as the turn before, and then it'll go around again. And it's his turn, he spent 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then go... cast the same spell. It's like, come on, man. Come on. Life's too short for this.
Yeah.
There's... So, jump over that. And that person is always the person that plays the most complex character as well.
Oh, right, okay. So there's a lot of procrastination.
Yeah, at the end of the day. I think I'm more a wargamer than role.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like with the role-playing thing, it's like those who can have that, like, quick imagination, that, you know, and maybe are known better, like, in that group. Like, all right, quick, I'm going to... do this, etc.
It's normally loot.
Well, yeah.
It's normally Adam. I'm going to steal the loot.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Steal the loot.
Yeah.
So you can say, you steal the loot from the dead body first. It's normally Adam.
But anyway.
Yeah. He just puts it in his backpack full of magic items that he doesn't use. Right. That's part of the game. That's anyway, so I also played Judge Dredd last night, which was like Infinity Light.
Mm-hmm.
So if you played Infinity... apart from movies and details.
Can you like do Overwatch in
your
person? Oh, so that's very Infinity then.
Yeah.
Like, are you shooting at them when they move at you?
You can do, but you have to forfeit all your movement and action to do it.
Okay.
Obviously, because it's set in that Judge Dredd universe, the fluff is insanely good.
Yeah.
The rule book's like virtually all fluff. It's fantastic.
I mean, like the I love Judge Dredd. I mean, that film Dredd 3D, like the new, was a fantastic movie.
I didn't see it in 3D, but it didn't.
No. As in, like, I don't know why it was. I think that was how it's coined, but it was just called Dredd, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And but Carl Urban plays Dredd, and he does it so well because he never takes the mask off.
And
he
Cersei Lannister's in that.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, Mar Baker.
And it's brilliant. It's ultra violent. It's a fantastic movie. It's so much better than that Sylvester Stallone abortion.
Yeah, well, still had some.
It's had some funny bits in it, but like this was dark.
He went to the Cursed Earth. He saw the ABC Warriors and stuff. Yeah.
But it's like that is like if you've ever read some of 2000 AD comics, Dredd doesn't take his helmet off, and he's uncompromising. And like the lines in Dredd are fantastic. The movie. Because he's just like they get that rookie, and she's like, she'd failed a test, like, by marginal. And he's like, why is she in a uniform? She failed a test. But uncompromising. Yeah. It's just like, completely, like, the law is black, everything's black and white to him. It's like, it's like, you broke the law, you're going to 12, you know, life in the queues, or death. And it's like, your choice. And like, it's like, but I just was jaywalking.
Law's a law.
Law's a law, bang.
So the fluff was fantastic. Yeah. Unfortunately, the game was a bit flabby. And in the same way that Dungeons & Dragons is... Without the threat of lethality, without the threat of dying, the game doesn't have much point to it. This is a game you play like Necromunda, I believe, so it's all building up experience for your gang. So
Because that's the main thing that this Warmer Quest lacks, this Age of Silver Tower. There's no levelling up.
Ooh.
There's no developing your character. There's holding on to kit for the next round.
Yeah.
But that's very light. There's no like level 1 to level 10. And there's no travelling to a city.
So it's a similar idea. If you play just a one-off match of Blood Bowl, they're really quite boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Because who cares?
Yeah.
And when you're badly hurt or dead or whatever, it makes no difference.
But the point, the true enjoyment of gaming is where something has a bit of meaning to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like as we'll lead on to, like, yeah, you know, I was annoyed with myself in this game because I made a mistake.
Rookie error.
And it's like, now, you could say, well, it's just a game on its own. What does it really matter? But no, I was like, I got to beat Barry. And it's like, damn it. And you're like, and so, yeah, I was like, I was on for the win with ogres and it didn't happen. And it's like, because of my stupid mistake. And so then that game, it's no slight against my opponent. It's like, I'm annoyed at myself. You know, like, but that's where, like, games are interesting, isn't it? You're right. A Blood Bowl league is a lot more interesting than a one-off Blood Bowl game.
Yeah.
Because your league, then it's about developing your team in a league.
And you play a bit more cautiously. You don't want to get your
exactly. You don't risk, but it's like, and you get like, oh, why is he fouling me?
Why am I doing go for it? For no reason.
You fall over and die, and then your star player's dead, out of it. So it's more management of that team. And like, Mordheim is lovely because you develop your warband. Necromunda, same thing.
Yeah.
If you're playing them as one-off games, you're right. It's like, it doesn't really matter. You'll risk a lot more.
Yeah, and also the kind of heavy stubber effect. There was a heavy weapon, and it was just ridiculous.
Just killing you.
It was killing judges.
Oh, we shouldn't do that.
Killed three judges in a turn.
What? Three in a turn?
You get to shoot twice.
How many judges were there?
Three. He killed all of them.
It's a bit bad game design then.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
did you not have enough scenery?
Yeah, tons.
Yeah, but...
Tons.
Like, you know, it's meant to be a
well, the problem with the judges, I think it's a flaw in the game, is they have to step out and try and arrest people. So they have to stop in the name of the law. They go, no!
No, we're
lucky with that. So I think the game might have some legs. It's definitely good if you like Judge Dredd and you like fluff.
Yeah.
But we'll have to... hopefully Darren will run a... But
would it be a game system where everybody wants to be the judges?
No, I don't want to be the judges.
You don't want to be the judges?
No, because they've got to try and arrest people. Unless that you play in a different scenario and they don't have to come out trying to arrest people.
Yeah.
Because you only get to make one arrest action a turn. So you step out, say...
Stop.
Right. And there were like eight punks shot into pieces.
But after that's happened, do the other ones have to try and arrest them?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no. Once the guy's shot, then no. No.
Yeah. Okay. But is there ever an option where the guy just goes, I'll come clean? So drops his weapon and gets arrested? Is that an option?
Oh, no, they get arrested. That's in the right of the game.
Oh, right, so
it's like a will test.
A will test, right, okay,
So he did try and stick his head around the corner.
just like, come over here and get arrested where it's safe. Yeah. Exactly. It's not very Judge Dredd, is it?
It's not very Judge Dredd. But no, it might have some legs. We'll maybe try it later in the year. But
I might watch
I'd probably give it a,
I think I'll watch that Dredd movie later talking about it.
So I'd probably give it 6 out of 10. I didn't play Silver Tower. I had no interest in it. I was invited because we had actually 2 games running last night.
I can't say that you play Silver Tower. I think that you experience
It just looked wrong.
Yeah.
It's in the same way that the setting leaves me flat.
This Oliver fella, like I said to him, look, mate, you've got to play Warmer Quest with me, and like, yeah, I'll find some time in the club and bring it down. And he was, yeah, he's like, said, oh, well, I was only 5 when that was out. And it's like, shit.
I'm old.
What happened? I had a promise with God. Yeah, it's like, wow. Well, that's the thing. But he doesn't know the better thing. He doesn't know it.
Well, that's the point. That's what I'm saying. That's why you're not the market.
Yeah.
Because if you were this guy Oliver, you look at it and you go, oh, this game's brilliant. Yeah, it does this.
I'll admit that, though, that not many people play Warmer Quest the way I play Warmer Quest. Okay. But I play it properly. Like, that game system has 3 versions, that Warmer Quest originally. It has the intro game that is a nonsense you shouldn't bother with because it's just, like, it's too easy.
Yeah.
You know? And then it's the proper game where you have a GM who's making monster decisions and it's very difficult to get anywhere. But that's the fun of it.
Yeah.
There's lethality everywhere.
Yeah, so when you do it, it's an achievement.
Yeah,
when
you get through a room, well done. Quick, run to the town, get some food.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's the role playing version of it, which doesn't really work because it's not a full role playing game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I did was I sorted out my monstrous White Dwarf collection.
Yeah.
Because I got some because people are dumping them, and I got some from Rid recently, and I've got now continuous every episode from 97 onwards.
So when was their best episodes? When were
they got really big and thick towards the late 100s.
Yeah, and were they
were massive.
Good ones? They were the good episodes?
You think so. Yeah, that was when they had like Warhammer quests running around, lots of stuff. They were giving away games in books.
I thought their best series of articles was Tale of 4 Gamers articles.
Mm. About painting, yeah.
Well, no, but where they're building an army.
And
like
painting.
But it was like and then playing said games. Because, okay.
I love the fact that they used to play test in books. They used to give you stuff, go play with this. Feed it back, blah, blah, answer questions.
But they still, I mean, like, the current White Dwarf, which is a weekly thing, I mean, they still do put out stuff for games. Like, they'll do stuff for this age.
The problem, the whole GW model, especially with the White Dwarf now, is, like, they won't tell you anything until, like, Thursday night.
Yeah. It's
like, well, I can't plan my life like this.
Yeah.
So I saw a little bit about Warhammer Quest last week, and then it was out.
And it was out.
I said, geez, man, what about my... You know, I don't have unlimited hobby budget. I can't just say, here's £100 for this game. I don't know what's coming next Saturday.
Because you said that to Nick, and what did he say back? It's just like...
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. Like, you commented last night, and he's like, yeah, so what? spend more money.
spend more money. Because you don't know what's coming this Saturday.
Yeah.
You can't plan.
No. Mm-hmm.
I just find it amazing that they're so. I don't know what the business theory behind it is.
Splurge.
So imagine if you went food shopping and you didn't know what they were going to sell you. So you go to Tesco's and you say,
you don't know what we've got this week. Oh, we've got some good stuff this week.
Caviar.
Lobster. Eat this lobster. Now.
But I didn't want lobster.
What do you do now? But I wanted the like potatoes that were here last week. They're gone. They're
no
dead
potatoes this week.
No more potatoes ever.
I just can't get my head around it. I mean, it's good to get people coming into your shop,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But what if I just want a White Dwarf? I don't want to have to drag myself into town to buy a White Dwarf. Anyway, so let's not rag on GW too much.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've done that. We've done the KR sponsorship. Right, quick one. Thank you, KR.
Yes, KR's great.
They haven't provided the stuff for the event yet, though.
Not yet, but they will.
They will.
And when they do, it'll be the bomb.
The bomb. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later in events, right? Mm-hmm. So we played today Ogres versus Demons. So let's get that done. Tell them your list, Paul. Thought your list was reasonable.
Yeah. So I went for a pool style list, something of everything.
Something of everything. And not too character heavy this time.
No. I went for 4 ogre. I mean, basically, I looked over the Ogre Kingdoms list, and it's got its flaws, definitely. And I was just like, well, now what do I pull out a winning combination? I did know I was playing demons, so I did know terror.
So you're saying you tailored your list, did you?
I'd have if I didn't know what I was playing, and like I would have probably had a terror thing in there. Yeah, like as in, oh no, I got a giant, but like I'd have been interested in the monster mount. But like, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I went for 4 ogre balls. In fact, yeah, for 4 ogre balls, 1 lead belcher, yeah, 2 iron guts, 1 yeti, 4 nobblers, 1 rhinox rider with the banner of shielding, because I think they should have 4 plus armour.
But the money you pay, yeah, they should have 4 plus.
1 gorges, 1 slave giant, 1 tyrant who has a sword of might, so that's my general with a sword of might, a bruiser with a sword of cleaving,
yeah,
and a butcher, and that gave me 2,000 points, a breakpoint of 8, and I did not even bother with the scouting value because there ain't anything in the army that's going
to
scout.
Well, you have to put your nobblers
yeah,
in
that's
too.
Yeah, that's not what the army does. Like, you don't scout.
That's it for 2. Right, so I went for demon. Dirty demon.
OP demons.
OP. Original list demons.
Original OP list demon.
So I just had the 5 wizards, obviously. Because
that's 5, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
5, yeah.
Normally I go like character minimum, but here I built from the characters up. So I spent 660 points on characters with no magic items or upgrades apart from wizards.
Yeah.
So I had the hero, I had 4 heroes all upgraded to wizards, and I had the overlord, and he was upgraded to a wizard. So that was 660 points.
That's amazing.
It's amazing for me. So then we went, we had 9 units of horde, because they're like Saurus. I actually proxied them with Saurus, because they're exactly the same as Saurus, but obviously better, because they don't suffer terror. We had 3 swarms. Now, swarms wouldn't normally have a place in a list against ogres, but this is the kind of all-comers list, so I didn't tailor it, because they had no purpose in this game, really, against you.
Fair enough.
You've got no shooting.
I mean, like, yeah, we can't have a go at each other for tailing lists.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
when you play orcs, I expect you to fully tailor every house in that list. Hounds, we had 2 units of hounds and 2 units of chariots. I didn't take any of the cavalry, because they seem to be poor value, because they've only got 5 up save. So. We had 2 units of flyers who were interesting, but didn't do much. And then the characters, that was it. So I had 18 units, break of 9, and they seemed reasonable, although they would have preferred a more protracted fight, because it was very wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, today.
Ogres.
So, tale of the game. I won the scouting, obviously, because of all my characters are flying, which is ridiculous. So that's
OP.
15 scouting points from the characters alone, and then another 6 from the flyers, so that's 21.
Yeah.
So let's say we won the scouting.
Basically, your army's so much better at scouting than me. You knew better when my army was with my own army.
They are demons after all. So I went scouting, so I deployed not very much, and then Paul deployed everything, and then I blobbed up in a corner as usual.
Yeah.
And then I went first, moved forward a little bit. Didn't do much that first
time. No, you failed a few orders.
Yeah, and then Paul moved forward.
Yep.
Not much.
Not much.
And then I sent in my flyers who'd flanked. I'd sent out a wizard, because I've got so much leadership in this army, I could actually dedicate 1 wizard to a flank with a unit of flyers.
And I made a mistake there, because I could have... Barry sends his one of his flyers into my unit, the side of my Rhinox Riders, when I could have had them blocked that move by just placing the Rhinox Riders close to my own brigade. I could have blocked it.
Yeah. But you weren't worried, because they're so tough.
Well, yeah, but actually, dice-wise, that would have come off worse eventually. I should have done it. I mean, because demon flyers are quite good. They're not the normal rubbishy flyers.
Well, they are.
But they've got 5 up armour.
They've got 5 up armour. Yeah. They're not Pegasus Knights.
No, they're not Pegasus. I mean, like, you know, clearly not. But, that was my mistake.
The problem with those infantry-mounted flyers is it's difficult to find a good point for them to attack.
Yes.
So it tends to be... cavalry,
because
the way
I'd form my brigades, like if he comes into the side of an ogre brigade, I'm doing 9 attacks back, you know, like as
yeah, and I'm only doing 8 coming in,
yeah, so it's like odds, yeah, it was good for me,
yeah, good for you. So, right, so I put them in so they get 12 attacks, and then managed to get my wizards within range, and I got Frenzy of Chaos and Demonic Rage on
2 buffs,
so they were 13 attacks, rerolling misses.
Yeah.
In the flank of his Rhinox, and we managed to take a stand, and we managed to take the banner.
Yep.
And then we bounced.
Yep. And actually, if I didn't have that banner, I'd have lost the unit. So that did tell that banner. Yeah.
Although that puts him at 300 points.
Yes, I know it's a lot of points, but like that it did actually help
But they did actually nothing in the game, because from that point onwards, they were so far out of position dealing with the Flyers.
Yes, but if I managed to get them past the orders to get them back in, they still could do something. They even though it's two stands, put 14 dice on the charge.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, leadership. So, and then he outcharged me and ate most of, but not all of my Flyers.
Yeah.
Who then managed to not fly away, and they came back, and then I managed to raise a stand on them.
So this is the problem with the demon list, is like, but this is a debate to have. Basically, there's two demon lists: the original and the tournament list. The tournament list, to my eyes, just brings the demon more demon, which are still very good, but brings them a bit fairer. But this is something we have.
I will certainly be.
You can't make a judgment off one game.
No, it's a very weird game as well, which you'll learn.
Yeah, so basically, my third turn?
Second turn. So I pushed forward a little bit, and I'd taken a hill in the middle. Yeah. A whole brigade on the hill. I was confident.
So my second turn, I'm hiding my nobblers in the wood, because there really is nothing for the nobblers to do.
They can go with the Yeti if you want to do a nombo.
Yeah, like, I'll explain why that's so wrong. It's like, really, nobblers, they just... I don't like to do that with an army and just have units you just bought just for breakpoint and you hide. But there really is no options for nobblers for ogres here for this. And so I'm hiding them in nobbler wood, you know, like, and then...
Hoping that my ogres will get to them.
Never see them. Like,
otherwise they'll just eat them.
Yeah, it's like, they're not formed up to fight, they're just formed up to hide. Yeah, like, and so, okay, my bruiser, just keep passing orders. He pulled off five orders on the brigade. When, like, and literally I was moving them up, like, assuming every time that was as far as I would go. So, kind of mutual support. And I just, well, okay.
And
so
you weren't even moving them full, you were, like, tickling them,
because every time I assumed I wouldn't get it. Yeah. But he didn't have anything else to order, so you might as well roll the dice. And literally, I needed a 3 to go into the flank of a brigade of yours on the hill. I got a double 1. And I was like, well, in they go then. And
in they go.
That basically... The tail of the game, I went attrition up then, from then on. Because that side position won me that hill.
I had a whole brigade in the hill. I lost most of that, if not all of that brigade.
Yeah.
And the hill.
I formed up then to receive Barry's count. Next turn, Barry sends in his stuff. Does a lot of damage with his chariots. But eventually I win the combat there. So there was two brigades fight. There was two big fights.
I sent a brigade into his brigade on the hill.
Yeah.
Or most of it on initiative.
And
I sent my chariots in on an order against your other brigade.
Yes.
With some infantry on an initiative charge.
That's right. Yep.
And I lost that combat on the right.
That protracted through, and I ended up winning.
And not only did you win, then he managed to advance into the flank of the combat that I had in the middle, waiting to kick off.
Yeah, because this is my undoing. Because I'd put my... Because I've only got a few characters, so my general's in a forward position. He'd had to join a unit. So he joins a unit of Iron Guts, which are fairly safe. And he's... Because I saw that, like, okay, I'm going to have a few characters and he adds to attack. I actually don't mind him fighting. He actually contributes 3 on his own.
Yeah.
And so they're in a unit of Iron Guts, and it is helping. It helps me to win that fight, because ogres have high wounds. They're going to have protracted combats. So characters will get a few rounds in. Anyway, you wouldn't do this like with an Empire list, because your characters would die immediately. That encourages me, and that's where I make...
So in that turn, you took 4 of me, and then... Because that was my turn.
Yeah,
I lost 4 on my turn.
Yeah.
So I was 4-1... down.
Yeah.
And then on your turn, you took another 2.
Yeah, because I attack the next wave of demons on the hill. This is my mistake.
You trap the 2 chariots and kill them.
Yeah, yeah, that was quite simple.
I got them
on 3 sides.
Yeah. With a giant as well.
I put them in a position where they couldn't avoid death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah. They just couldn't. Yeah. So then I attack. Momentum's with me. And I go again at Barry, and I put a lot of stuff into a frontal attack on the hill, but including some characters, because I thought, well, I need to win this fight to keep Barry on the back foot.
And rather than push back, I just let my front line be destroyed.
I was in a position where I was 2 units off winning. I couldn't win it that turn, because I could advance into 1 unit, which...
And probably kill them.
And probably, say I did.
Yeah.
But then I can't get 2. So I'm left the right. Okay, now I'll pull back, save the wounds I've taken, and form up for defence again. But Barry puts everything he can into getting at my and it, getting at my unit that I've put my general in, you know, and gets flyers behind, which is exactly the right thing to do. Shows how many flyers are.
All my orders came off. Yeah, I managed to get like about seven units in the end. It was ridiculous.
You passed everything you needed, and I ended up losing the game with you with 5 minutes left to go. And me about 40 minutes left.
And I only had one unit
at that point. And, yeah. But then you got my general.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was annoying myself because I know why I was lured into risking my general, because of the list and because of his success the previous turn. But it was a mistake. I didn't need to do that. Well, after when I was so far ahead up on attrition, I could have played for time more. I could have like. And I didn't, and that was my. So basically, I threw the game. I lost the game by my mistake, and that annoyed me. Afterwards, so I was just like, "God damn!" Break a cardinal rule: never risk your general. Never equip your general to fight, and never risk him. Yeah.
So in that final fight, I put all five characters into the battle. I had a demonic rage running. There was tons of stuff. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
There were men everywhere.
Yeah.
Stuff everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was unfortunate. Paul, it was a bit of a rookie error exposing your general.
No, I thought
what you were going to do is rebuild the brigade and get him off the front line.
That would have been the better thing to do, and that's the option I should have had. I should have gone for. And
so it's like put him behind.
I put it into it, and I was.
And
like,
you put him on the flank.
I know. And that was again, why did I do that? But like, the thing is, the ogres have no answer to stuff. Like, I have no answer to flyers. Like, I can't stop them doing what they're going to do. Like, if you're going to order the flyers to go stand behind a fight, I can't do anything about it. Like,
you've got nothing that you can chase flyers.
Yes, I've got nothing that can reach out and get them, like, before that happens. Like, they just have to suffer it, ogres. Like, they just have to, what's going to happen.
Right, so I won, but I won on breaking, so it was like something like 7-2 or something, but loss of general.
Yeah, loss of general, which doesn't happen often in Warmaster, and more for me.
Right, so...
I'm over it now, it's fine.
You're over it. He's just going to get drunk later watching Dread. Who are the ogres, Paul? Is that what we're on
Fluff.
Next?
Fluff.
Oh, God almighty.
Oh, my God, look at, what's that? A bird in the sky, it's a plane.
It's Fluff a bomb. Bomb. Fluff bomb. Oh, no.
Right, okay, so Barry, what do you think of Fluff is?
Oh, God, they've got no fluff.
Don't look at this.
They've got no fluff.
No fluff.
They when they were in the era of going around trying to hoover up IP from anywhere.
Yeah.
So they were going, oh, we got
some big, hoover of, age of hoover IP.
So it's just in the 90s, they were just going around like, let's have Nippon, Cathay, Batonian, whatever, Araby, this, that. These are basically Mongolians, aren't they? I don't know why they're Mongolian. I don't know why they're humongously oversized and everything's about guts. I mean, they've got big guts. But I never really understand the gut plates. I never understand the punching spikes they had on their hands.
So...
I never understood why they wore shoes. I don't know what...
Why they wear shoes?
Why would they wear shoes? Okay. Who's making the shoes?
It's about novelists.
What are they about shoes for?
Yeah.
You look at them... I don't know what they are. They're quite cool, though, to be fair. When you see them, like, on the table, because they were so much bigger than everything else.
Yeah. They have their range of 28 mil had some really nice stuff and some not-so-good stuff.
Like, yeah, but gorgeous, what I would say is about this, and probably Bretonian and a few others, is that when Warmaster was made, ogres were crap in fantasy. They were really, really poor. You only played ogres if you wanted wanted a laugh player. You couldn't win with them because they were awful.
Meh.
And it was only when they got to 8th ed and they started bringing in
They started bonkers. Doing like horde units and monstrous monstrous infantry can fight full effect
all that kind of
But crazy. Even then they've never been the best army.
No, they were certainly better.
They're better, but they've never been the best army.
Yeah. Okay. So they were one of those ones that were just taped on like vampire counts. They don't really have a reason to exist.
Okay, now Ogre Fluff changed in 2004 when the 7th edition Ogre Kingdoms book came out. So it was...
Oh, before that they were just like Imperial Guard, weren't they?
Yeah,
like Imperial.
Before that they were just like ogres that were like mercenary. There was Imperial Ogres.
They are in this game.
Yeah.
Because even though we've got the Ogre Kingdoms, the models aren't. They're like Empire Ogres.
Yes, that's right. Right. Yeah. And so they put them... Basically, before they were like a little race... like halflings, a little race in the Empire mostly. They then changed them to be have their own lands in the close to the mountains of Morn, and you know, really develop their culture as an idea. Now, and they changed their look from being like more traditional kind of looking ogres to this kind of look where they look like Genghis Khan, like with like, you know, like strange oriental style beards. Like, I don't know really why that's in. But, yeah, and change their look to have big gut plates on, etc. Now, so that in their culture, they worship a thing, a god called the Great Maw, which is like an ogre god. And it basically is like, and might is right in their culture. So, like, the bigger and stronger they are, you're in charge. So
that is pretty Genghis Khan.
Fluff-wise, they're not really too dissimilar from orcs in a sense, where might makes right. But, like, ogres don't make anything. Like, and so for anything to feasibly work, like for them to make their shoes, as Barry says, they have to have some servants, and in their case, it's nobblers, who are a race of goblins who are just a bit more puny, like even the regular goblins, and they're just like there's lots of different races of goblins, hill goblins, night goblins, and nobblers are just like a different like tribe,
even crapper goblins
who like little bits, they're like
little shiny bits,
and yeah, and they made an army out of that, really. There's not a lot more to say. They're a traditionally mercenary army. They do things for money and like, or also for food, or you know, like, or money to buy food, etc. And they just exist in the Warhammer world. Like, there's never, you know, the area of land they contain is not massive, but and there's not, I don't think there's a like a lot of ogres in the world, but they have like distinctive tribes they're all in. And they created a race out of essentially one or two units in mercenary units in other armies. That's what they created, and they use like gut magic, and yeah, so they really played up to the idea of them having the belly plate is like an honorific title, like thing. The bigger your belly plate, the more higher in the culture. Like Chaos Dwarves with the size of your hat, right? It's like because it's like the
my
size
hat
of your...
is preposterous.
Yeah. I can't even fit my hat on. Like, I have a hat on top of my hat. And it's like, they created all these ogre tribes, etc. In the world they live in. You know, and what do they do in the end times? Not a lot. Yeah, like...
They
were mentioned briefly, but they didn't do much. You know.
They're a strange one, Ogre King.
Consigned to the scrap heap, you know?
A strange one.
Yeah.
Okay, right, so let's do the list.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. Right, bulls. Bulls.
So, Ogre Kingdom's army.
Bulls. Infantry. Mostly infantry, this list. 4 attacks, 4 hits, 5 armour, 110 points. Min 2. They're bulls, so they have
to charge.
Why are
they 110 when they're
I don't know. So the official reason is because you can have more than 2 per 1,000. So
ogres, it's the same. It's the, in a... Orc list, yeah. Ogres are 105 points.
Or a Dogs of War list.
Or Dogs of War is 105 points.
Or Chaos list.
105 points. Okay. But here, they're 110.
110, yeah. Because they need some more stuff against them.
Yeah, and you have to take 2 of 1,000, so you're going to take 4.
You could take more, I think.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of core you have to have. 440 points straight off.
Like Dwarf Warriors.
Yeah.
Similar points.
I mean, there's not much to say about them. Like, they're massed together. They get very, you know, they get very solid.
The annoying having to chase humans can be annoying.
It can be, definitely. And as an opponent can use that against you. But it's only going to matter in some matchups.
Yeah.
There's lead belchers. Infantry. 3 attacks and D3 shooting attacks. 4 hits and a 6 up armour. 110 points. Minimum nothing. Maximum 2. Lead belchers, right, so they have only a range of 15,
which is
and they're on D3
fire.
For every stand when they fire, or D3 minus 1 when they stand and shoot. And if you're only ones to hit, you've shot yourself.
And counts for combat as well, if they're...
Yeah, they're just not good. Like, it's a nice idea, because lead belchers, basically, these are ogres carrying cannons, right, small calibre cannons, because they can do that, because they're that big. Yeah, ogres are going to be like 12 feet tall. But this unit doesn't really work, does it?
The reason I think it went wrong is because in the game, in Fantasy, of this edition, they had really short range, like 12-inch range.
Yeah, they used artillery dice
For the number of shots. And if you went and misfired, something bad happened, you just exactly, yeah. whatever. Yeah. And I think when they ported it into this, they deliberately made it so it had as small a range as possible, and the amount of damage output it did was kind of contained. But it needs to be far more random.
Oh,
it needs to do like the spike needs to be insane. If you roll well, you need to do a lot of damage.
So these lead belches have a point defense weapon in Warmaster terms because the range is only 15. So that means that the unit is going to fire at the enemy and then they're going to get charged. And the lead and the ogres just they're not good.
Like they've got no armor,
three attacks and six armor.
That's like halberdiers.
Yeah, it's like. They're not. This is not.
All right. So we got the stand and shoot. You think, I could do like 9 shots. Yeah. Stand and shoot. Oh no. So it's D3 minus 1.
Yeah.
So realistically, you're gonna do 3, 4 of a good shot, and then you can actually hurt yourself.
Yeah.
It's like, oh jeez, these guys are horrible.
And with their lack of range, they're not like a missile unit where I'll get them into some scenery and they'll like a woods and they'll dominate out 30 centimeters. They only just dominate 15. You just avoid them.
It's like so you think, so they've got short range. Maybe I could flank with them. But no, you can't. You just can't do anything.
Took one unit today to see what they my opinions, and I wouldn't take them now.
Sadly, I don't see
a role for them.
I use two units and I put one on each of the front of each brigade. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you just got ruined.
Yeah.
Because people charge, then they don't do anything, and then they get smashed.
And they get smashed, and you haven't got a big break point.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they're barely better than Noblers. And that's horrific when you said about, all right, they got 4 hits, big deal.
Yeah.
No arm. Mm-hmm. They get ruined. They're horrible.
Yep.
I can't even understand what they did, but they need to give more range. I mean, why could they not have range? They're cannons.
They could have range 30.
Range 40. Steam Tank's got range 40, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same cannon.
Yeah. So, I mean, what they're holding is not a short-range weapon, like, in their hands.
But it was given short range because of the ease of movement in fantasy and how much damage it did. Because you could do 10 attacks per shot.
And they're a very unique unit in fantasy because you don't have monstrous infantry holding missile weapons, generally.
No.
So
a unit then could do a lot of attacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trading everything off against the fact that you've got a pitifully short range.
Yeah.
And I think they actually had all the clubs. And I think they had a reasonable...
Well, they still have... in Oldhammer, they're still going to have 3 attacks. They're still going to have a strength of 4 and a toughness of 4. So, like, they're still ogres. Like,
I don't understand why they're so bad in this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the errors were made with the first...
Mistakes were made.
with the first 2 entries. Right, next up, sir.
It's yours.
Oh, is it? Iron Guts. Infantry, 4 attacks, 4 hits, 4 up armour, 145, maximum of 2, no, nothing else apart from the fact that they're Chaos Warriors for 5 points cheaper. Well, why is that? Why are these 5 points cheaper than Chaos Warriors? They don't suffer the bull, ogre,
human. No, actually.
So why are they cheaper?
I don't know. But they're good, aren't they?
They're too good, because now these are cheaper. So I don't like things that aren't consistent in the world.
Yeah.
Bull ogres should be 105, Iron Guts should be 150, and God knows what lead belches should be, but not 110.
I don't like consistency. We should never talk politics then, if you don't like politics, consistency.
It's coming. If anybody's in the UK, you know what's coming. Yeah. In about 28, I'm pissed sick of it. I can't cope.
Are you in or out?
I'm not going to discuss it. Politics is bad.
Right, okay.
I just want to kill them all. Not the politicians is who I want
to
kill.
Send them to the wall.
The wall. They'd all have to take the black.
They could all hold the door, couldn't they?
Hold the door. Right, come on, Paul. Next one.
So, we have Yetis, infantry. 5 attacks, 3 hits only. Oh, I didn't realise that. 5 up armour.
Then they get into combat.
Yetis. It's hard to order them, so that's a minus 1 command, like a troll. But they don't have command distance for distances, so interesting. And
That is interesting. I don't know what. Go on, keep going.
If a character joins Yetis, it cannot be brigaded with Nobblers. So this is okay. We're coming on to Nobblers.
Well, this is Yetis. Talk about Yetis.
Right. So,
what's the use of a Yeti?
They can go out on a flank. And you just like fire off some orders at the end of a turn
with the general.
Yeah.
Unless he
blows. That's what you do.
That's exactly right. That's
what you do.
The alternative is he's a Nobbler babysitter. So you're in Nobbler Wood.
Yeah.
You don't want him to get eaten. Yeah. So you give him a little Yeti babysitter.
Yeti babysitter.
Because they can be supported by Nobblers.
Yeah.
They're the only thing that can.
Yeah.
But as soon as you put the Nobblers with the Yetis, They lose the the fact that they can be ordered from anywhere.
Yeah.
And they still suffer the minus one command.
I know. That's the problem, like, of bad rules writing. Okay, so basically with a Yeti unit, I'd take one Yeti unit, because you're going to have some Nobblers to increase your break. And heaven help anything comes near the Nobblers, because they win. That's how you lose the game.
That is how I was going to win the game,
and,
yeah.
And if you're going to have Nobblers, then it's worth having a unit of Yetis, just to give the Nobblers a fighting chance if they have to come and fight, because at least they can stand behind the Yeti and, like, shout encouragement.
So again, you've got this unit, Yetis, 5-3-5, 130 points.
Yeah.
They're expensive trolls, without regeneration.
Yeah, but we've said regeneration isn't anything. Anyway.
But you'd rather have it than not.
Yeah, but I think trolls have hit four hits.
No, that's exactly the profile of
the troll. Oh, is it right? Okay.
But they're 25 points more than trolls. Or is it 20 points more than trolls? I think they're 110 trolls. So let's call it 20 points more than trolls.
Right, okay. So there's some more points, yeah.
But they lose regeneration.
And they get the distance. Like, the lack of distance penalty does not stack when you are ordering them with something else. So if you have Nobblers and Yetis on the flank, you can't order them as a brigade without the penalty. You're going to have the penalties for distance because you're ordering them.
So basically, you're going to take one unit, maybe.
It's very Scornagy, this unit.
One unit, maybe, and stick it on a flank and hope it doesn't get charged and killed.
Yeah.
Because it's not very resilient.
No.
It's like trolls, yeah. Like regeneration. I don't really understand when you've got so much heavy infantry, why you get yet another unit of what is effectively heavy infantry.
Yeah.
For 130 points, which seems expensive. Mm. I think even at 110 points, it would be maybe. Mm. Maybe 120.
You have the next entry.
You'd have to look at how much the Araby camels have a similar rule and how much they are more expensive than regular.
They're cavalry, so that's all different. These are infantry, they're cavalry.
Like, yeah, but they pay a premium to have that minus one command, but no distance modifier. Yeah. So we have to check what the premium was there. And was it me? Oh, the lovely Nobblers. So, infantry, two attacks, one range, three hits, no armour, 30 points. You can take up to 4 per 1,000, and they have loads of rubbish rules.
They have a range of 15, and...
Well, not 360.
No.
Not 360, no.
They can only be brigaded with other Nobblers and Yetis, and characters cannot join Nobbler units. For good reasons.
Why would they want to?
Because no ogre would live it down.
So basically, this is one of the few units in the game that literally have no other purpose than find a wood and get out of town and just stay there and hopefully not get engaged.
Like, I don't like to play that way with, like, a unit, but there is no reason. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing.
Even goblins can support. Stuff,
yeah.
Which, they can't do anything. You can't even put them with the bloody Yeti.
Right.
To go aggressive.
Because
it's like a numbo. So, I don't like we've just discussed, I don't like things that have no purpose other than to just be like a break point.
Yeah, neither do just, I.
Yeah, so, but you've got to take them. You took 4.
Yeah.
I guess you could take 8.
Because because there's such a difference in points between them and the next cheapest unit. So if you take 4 units, that makes 120 points.
That's like one unit of ogres,
and it's like, it's not like, I think the only thing, you're going to take 4's a fair number just to hide somewhere on one order, but they're so cheap in points compared to regular ogres. It's just weird list building, but it's inevitable. Okay, so. Rhinox Riders, the only cavalry unit they have. 5 attacks, 4 hits, 5 up armour. 3 units, and 250 points for them, and you get minimum nothing, maximum 1, so you could have 2. And how can you afford 3 anyway? But yeah, 250 points, booyah! That's another dollar!
Great rules, man!
So, Rhinox Riders. Unaffected by terror, because they're that badass. They also get a +1 attack when charging in against the open, the same way as chariots, because they're badass. Due to their mass and clumsiness, the unit of runners cannot be driven back. There you go. But
must
roll for confusion as normal, because they can be confused. And they never make way.
So that's annoying.
Yeah.
They can still be confused.
They can
still
be confused by shooting.
So you shoot them 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
You get 6, they've just done that. 300 points, whatever. Yeah. Not doing anything.
So they've got brilliant stats.
Have they?
But the armour lets them down. So... great number of attacks, charging open in the open, 7 dice each, amazing. But 5 up armour is not...
Do they have to pursue?
Yes.
Do they have to charge?
Yes.
So that's great, so we've got negatives on a 250 point unit, yeah?
Yeah. They're not
tactical. So not only they have to, not only do they have to charge,
yeah,
they have to pursue,
yeah,
and they have to advance.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep going.
It's like, yeah, but I don't want to. Nope, you've got to keep coming, and you've got to advance, and you've got to charge, you've got to advance, you've got to pursue. Yeah. It's like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
And you look at, like, Chaos Knights, who are the creme de la creme of cavalry.
Yeah, yeah.
4-4-4, 200 points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which would you rather? 4-4-4, 200 points, or these nutjobs, finally 4-5...
But an extra attack of the charge as well.
If you manage to get that, they don't make you charge into a hill or somewhere where you don't want to go because you've got to go. And you've got no control.
Yeah, but you pay extra 50 points for that.
they're easily 50 points overcosted, these guys. Yeah, yeah. Easily. At 200 points, then you'd say, well, they've got more damage output, but you've got all these negatrades. Yeah. But you look, just give me the reliable Chaos Knights. I don't even use them. I had to pick... There's just so many points, and you're trying to make them more reliable.
So, I wanted to take a unit of them, because then I'd say I've tried them, and I was like, "Well, these are a guy. For, might as well let's make them even more expensive. Throw a banner on there to give them 4-up armor, which yeah, they should have 4-up armor, I think, and yeah,
or be cheaper,
Yeah, yeah.
I think, and keep 5-up armor, but you're cheaper.
Yeah, so I tried it. It did help in that game we played. And you could always, when you've got 4-up armor, you could always massively skew dice because it's a 50-50 every time.
Yeah.
I suppose you might have, they're difficult, like, to use properly because the enemy will catch you out with them. Nothing much to say on them.
Right, gorgeous. So a monster, one of our two monster entries, 4 attacks, 4 hits, 5-up armor. 145 points. They got another set of rules because everything in this bloody army has its own rules. So gorgeous are monsters.
Based as infantry.
Based as infantry. Must use the initiative charge.
Must pursue.
Must pursue. No. Must always pursue, but can never advance.
Because they're eating things.
And those are for Tether.
Yeah.
So they're good in that they can. Apart from the Rhinos Riders, which you can only have one unit of realistically, these are the other things that you can use to take on Bretonnian cavalry.
Exactly.
Because you need more than one unit.
Because monsters can chase cavalry, and they are monsters. Yeah.
Right, but they can only chase one. They can only do that one attack.
Oh, of course. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, of course. Like,
man, can you stop giving me rules that don't work for me? You're making it so hard. If I come against an infant cavalry heavy army, I'm just going to get ruined.
Yeah.
So 4-4-5, they're not terrible, but God, they're expensive. In a unit full of heavy, expensive units, it's another 145 points.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, whatever. Next, Paul.
Slave Giant. It's a monster, 8-8-5. It's the rules for a giant. It's 150 points, exactly the same. As a giant in an Orc and Goblin list.
And it's good?
It's good.
Access to giants is a good thing?
Yeah, exactly.
In this list, unfortunately, though...
And you can be wounded.
There's so much stuff you already want and need.
And he has his Go Wild chart, as usual.
It's difficult to find room for him. You're probably going to find room for one, but that's probably all you can do.
Yeah. I think after playing the game today, when I next play Ogres against you, my list will look a bit different.
Yeah, so you just end up with millions of bulls and iron guts.
Yeah, sadly.
And that's all there is. Yeah. And some nobblers hidden at the back. And one unit of Rhinos Riders.
Yeah.
But the list just degenerates into kind of like min-maxing.
Yeah. So anyway, finish off with the character.
Right, so we have three characters. We have a general. He's a normal general. 2 attacks, 125 points, leadership, 9. Deck, command 9. Bruiser, normal hero.
Points for,
Butcher, normal wizard.
Command 8.
But he gets an extra attack.
He does. From nowhere.
For all points?
Yeah. He's 90 points.
Right? Oh, yeah. That's normal, isn't it? For leadership.
I can't think off the top of my head. Okay. But, it's a command 8 wizard, and they have one mount, a Bull Rhinox, which is a monstrous mount for 65 points, gives you an extra 2 attacks and terror.
It's a Karma Sword, is what it is.
Basically. Yeah. They're spells. Ogre spells.
Oh, and it keeps going on.
So, most spells are range 30 or maybe 60.
Or 40, something. Yeah, but not often 20.
No. This whole cat list is 20 or no range.
That's all right, because you've got all that redundancy in your characters. Not.
Yeah.
You've got a character. Yeah. A wizard, if you're lucky.
Yeah, you've taken one wizard. You've got Toothcracker, range 3 up to cast, which is the lowest casting value there is. Range 20, and the friendly unit can't be driven back or confused.
It's reasonable.
Yeah. They can still die to shooting, but they can't be driven back or confused.
That's a reasonable spell.
Yeah.
In an army that's a foot slogging.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to get shot army.
Yep.
Bone Cruncher.
Yep.
So 5 up to cast. It's the normal shooting attack with no armor save, but this confuses on a 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So. And you must be able to see, and you can't cast the spell into combat. Yep. And the range is 20.
Three extra shooting attacks in an army that really doesn't have any shooting range at all. It's not great.
So you've got about 25% of causing confusion on its own.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that there's no armor save, you've got 3.
It's a bit of a risk. I mean, it's a dangerous blade to rely on this. Ball Gorger, 4 up to cast, range non-applicable, because you add +1 attack for each stand in the unit the Butcher has joined, including his own stand. That's that.
Right. And Troll Guts, 5 to cast, range 20.
Yep.
Spell is a friendly unit in combat. Each stand is affected and gains +1 hit.
Probably the best spell, Troll Guts, for them.
I like all of them. I'd prefer it if they had more range.
Yes, of course.
And if the list worked a bit better, so you could maybe have 2 wizards.
Yes. You can theoretically have 2 wizards.
But you've got no army.
Yeah, and then you've got no army.
Well, you've got a combat hero and 2 wizards. And like, I've got like Baker 5. Good luck with this. Or just have an army of nobblers.
No, you can only have 8 units.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I've got 8 nobblers.
Hidden in the back. All
5 characters.
Okay. Boom.
Boom. We're off.
So,
are they range 20?
I don't know.
I know why. Because in this stupid book, which wasn't competitive, all the magic was short range.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Deliberately.
Yeah.
But that's a different game. We're not playing Warhammer Fantasy 6th Ed.
Okay. I know we're not.
That's where it went completely tits up.
Yeah.
They didn't try and play Warmaster with ogres. They tried to play Warhammer Fantasy.
Yeah.
In the Warmaster rule, in the Warmaster world, with the Warmaster rules.
Yep. So, strengths and weaknesses.
Because it wouldn't hurt them in the fight to make every one of these spells range 30.
No, that would have not changed anything for them.
Yeah. Big deal. Right.
Strengths and weaknesses.
Right. They've got really good infantry.
So strengths are that...
Undercosted Iron Guts.
Yes. Probably the highest strength is probably the Iron Guts. I think they're the rock stars of the list.
Because they're undercosted.
And your core infantry, your core unit is quite a good unit. In that it's a brigade of 4 ogres is a meaty like prospect, like it can does a lot of attacks.
Would you prefer, because you play, and I wouldn't like to say defensively, but your kind of balanced approach, would you rather have them or dwarf warriors?
Ooh, yeah,
because they're very similar, aren't they? I don't like the fact that Negatrade can really mess you about.
No. You're comparing the two, a unit of 4, a brigade of 4 dwarves and a brigade of 4 bull ogres, you're going to be naturally more defensive with the dwarves, and you're going to be naturally more aggressive with the ogres, because they just fit that better. Probably the ogres, actually, I think I'd go with.
Well,
yeah.
That'd be interesting. Right, so...
So, that's a strength. Running out of strength.
Keep digging, man.
Oh,
keep
my God.
Digging. The balls are reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
The Iron Guts are good.
Yeah.
Because they're underpriced.
Yeah.
The Rhinox Riders are borderline in that you probably have to take them, but God, they're expensive.
Yeah.
The Giants, Giants are giant.
Yeah, so.
It's just a shame it's in this list and you've got no chat. You've got too much expensive stuff, you just don't have room for Giants.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you have to take them, but you just.
That's about it. I can't.
It's really weird. When I played it, your list just keeps getting more and more streamlined into more of the same unit.
Yeah, exactly. So weaknesses. There's a lot, right? There's units that you should never take, like Leather Belchers.
I don't mean never take. I can't find a role.
Okay, so there's units you can't find a role.
Right, Leather Belchers. The role would be stand in front of the Noblers in the wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they can't brigade with them.
Yeah.
But that would be the role. No. You can't do that role. That's for the Yetis that I don't have room to take.
So there's a lot of bad list design in this list. That's a major weakness.
Yeah. So the lead belchers, they need redesigning.
Because us talking through it, we just ripped it apart now.
The Yetis, they're reasonable, but they probably need a little bit of a redesign as well.
Yes, yeah.
The Noblers are good.
Weaknesses is you're always going to have a low break point. It's impossible to get a high break point.
Well, you can do it, but then people just go for your Noblers.
Exactly.
They'll just run into the wood and kill all the Noblers.
Yeah, exactly. And you just don't... it's an army where you have these very cheap units that you can just do nothing with them, and you have to hide them just to keep the army in the game. If you play aggressive and keep rolling forward, they can reward you today.
They can
reward you, ogres, but they're going to come undone when you start getting picked off by cannons, they have no answer to something.
They've got no artillery.
No answer.
They've got
to
no range.
Yeah.
They've got no cavalry. They've got no flyers.
Yeah. If they play the Bretonian army, they'd never be able to chase the cavalry. Down.
Well, you've got a couple of units that can do it.
But a couple of units you can do it,
you've got to get them into the right position.
You've got to get them in the right positions,
And you've got to be the one not getting charged.
Because the Bretonian player will slam forward his knights into your ogres, and if it does all go wrong, it's alright, he won't chase you.
You can't play too defensively, otherwise they're just going to ignore your ogres and kill your knights.
They've got no options in that sense. You can't hang back at all. And going forward, you can get picked off. By positions. They don't have a big army. You're going to expose flanks, inevitably.
So you just try and move forward en masse.
Yeah, you're trying to.
But you did well. You did well in that game. I swear if you hadn't lost your general, you would have probably won that game.
I know, that would have been... I'd have said that would have been a turner. That would have been a definitely a change for what was predicted.
Yeah, and it was because of that. If you get, five orders off on a unit, things are going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just lucky. Yeah,
okay. So, ogre list, it's one of the... it's in the tournament list. It got a long way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's one of the ones I would say, along with a couple of other lists, that probably needs a bit of work.
Yeah, it is. Why play...
Otherwise, he's not got a scrap launcher.
No, yeah, it was true. They could have an artillery piece, couldn't they?
Yeah, a bit like a Galloper gun.
Yeah, yeah. Or acts like a pseudo doom wheel.
No, it'd be like a stone thrower.
You could have.
And let the Noblers go with that. Give them something to do. Give them something to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Put them on a hill with a scrap launcher or something.
Yeah. Do something then. They can contribute.
And they can defend it, kind of. Maybe. They've got to shoot and attack, maybe.
They throw sharpy things.
So I think you're going to enjoy playing ogres.
Yes.
Going forward, but you might find it a bit samey. Because when we played Alex, I noticed he condensed it down into basically three unit types.
Yeah.
Plus the Noblers, which were hidden. Yeah. And that's exactly the way to go.
Yeah.
He only had two characters as well.
Yeah, but Jan plays big.
Plays big, man. So,
plays big.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, a weakness is that after a couple of games of this, your list will boil down to what you take. You'll end up being that's the only real list you have.
Well, you could throw in a giant, you could throw in a unit of Yetis, you could throw in a unit of Noblers. Mm-hmm. What have you got? Gorgeous, if you really want. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the mass of the army is going to be bulls and iron guts.
Yeah, I mean, at times it's nice to play an army that is balls to the wall, just go for the enemy. And I own this ogre army that's lovingly done, and I will bring it out to play Barry occasionally. And it's also an army that can be at every event that we run.
And it's an army that can win. Even if you're tier 3, that doesn't mean you can't win.
No, exactly. It's it's entirely there. Because they're going to have some very bad matchups, and I think in some games they'll just get picked apart because you haven't kept rolling the commands to get forward, and they're just getting cannons are removing a unit a turn.
Well, say you're wandering forward, you're on the edge of the wood with your bulls, right? And I'm Bretonian, and I put a unit of chaff, total chaff now, and I put it 20 centimetres away, knowing you've got to charge them, and knowing that you can't get back to the wood because of the dice, and I've set up all my knights to flank.
Waiting for that to happen. So Smash. Peasants, go forward and farm that field right there. okay. oh, there's ogres over there, sir. And it's shut up, peasant.
Shut up, die. And then we just charge you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
No.
But a just the ogres, isn't it? Right, so we've done the ogres. What have we got left? What have we got left to talk about?
Yes.
Strengths and weaknesses. Strengths.
We have talked about it. Oh, yes, we've got a tier list the arm. Tier 2 or tier 3?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not having that. 2.5.
2.5, right. So
they're not
three.
As bad as orcs, because the command is better than orcs, but they're certainly not tier 2.
So two then it means it's tier 3, isn't it?
I said, no, I'm saying 2.5.
Okay.
Lizardmen were 1.5.
Oh, okay. So, okay. We should have had more criteria. But okay, well, that's what we'll go with.
We'll
then.
Come back to
tier
them later.
2.5.
2.5. I've got a list of them all.
Yeah. So, something else I will mention about just like what we're debating is that us and Jim and Alex, the guys who run Saffron Warden, have been having a debate about emails, advice, pointers, and I'll just quickly recap. That's quite interesting. We all decided that with our scouting rules that we were playing, we'd read it, misread it, and it's like we thought, oh, if you won the scouting rule, you choose table sides because that sounds obvious, doesn't it? And it isn't the case, but we've made it so now.
So make it so, as the guard
which is good. Another thing is we need to play test some armies because we intend to, going into 2017, we intend to like produce, like look at the armies that are available, and we are more for the vote of condensing them to an army.
I should say tread gently.
Tread gently, but
there are some that I would like to have never seen exist, but they do exist. So
like personally, I'm in the camp where I think it would be best that every army, every race has one army. And then if we were to expand on it, we should try and make it every army as another option. I don't know. But right now, like, I'll read... That's still 24 lists. You know, like, that is just pure... That's a race. That's 24 races in this game. That's what's amazing about this game.
Yeah.
But, you know, and they are... And that's what we're debating about at the moment.
I'm more focused on consistency. So I don't like things that break the norm. I don't like Cathay bolt throwers shooting 60. I don't like it. I don't know why it exists.
Yeah.
That's the range of a cannon. And only a cannon.
Yeah. Another point we're chatting about, is that pursuits are, like, I just guess the trickiest bit of the game. We want to produce some aid memoirs just to make them clearer, like how they're done. And this is a debate about wood elves and beastmen, like because we need to like should they in the rule the lists say they have woods. Now should they have woods like in tournament play? We don't know. That's what we need to
debate. Depends. If it was in a tournament and that guy was playing wood elves and he's expecting me to come and try and take him on in his woods, I won't do it. I'll stand at the back of my wood. We'll get a nil-nil draw and go home. I can't come and kill
you.
That's
something we need to debate. Because beastmen doesn't seem to match so much, but wood elves they're a very interesting army.
But where did that number come from? The four extra woods. Oh, again, from Fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a different game. Just don't just bring all your crap baggage from Fantasy and just try and pour it into this game.
That's it. But it doesn't look like in our meta. That we'll be adding new armies anytime soon. It doesn't look that way.
No. I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah.
There's plenty to
yeah,
be going
on. I mean, when there's 24 races, that's enough choice, I think.
Oh, we're long today. So we might have to cut it short, man. It's already 150. I don't want to...
We are finishing up now.
Right, good. So we'll talk about the events next time. There's nothing happening. Apart from one thing I need to mention is, like, in June, there's half term, I'm on holiday, and Paul's on holiday with the army for a couple of weeks. Yep. So June's going to be thin. Maybe only a couple of episodes
in
June.
Yeah, exactly. So that's... Sorry.
You can talk about that next time.
Yeah, apologies. We're just saying that the tickets for the... Obviously... Bunker Warmaster 2 are up for sale. I've been up for a while, and that was it. Yeah, that was all I mentioned because that's different.
Fantastic. So you can contact us at the Facebook page or at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
Yeah,
and that was Warmaster Podcast episode 21 with Paul and Barry.
Yes, nice to meet you.